Man, people crazy out these streets, bro. I've been grinding since I was like 15 with this music, bro. I've learned that I can't please everybody. And there's been a lot of love, but there's also been misunderstanding, hate, and this box they put me in. And it makes them uncomfortable if I'm not in it.
DJ KJ.
And I ain't in it.
What's up? Welcome back to I Went Out. I'm Manny.
I'm Nick.
And today is, of course, Wednesday, so we have another installment of our Racial Repentance series. Before we get into it, just a reminder to subscribe to us on iTunes, Spotify, or Google Play. Please leave a rating and or review. That's helpful to us, but it also helps you guys so that you don't miss out on any episodes when they drop. All right, so I think this is our first time recording a Racial Repentance episode where it's just like Nick and I. So,
yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah. So we have an opportunity to just kind of sit and reflect and just talk about some of the recent events. So let's start with this. One thing that you have learned or just remembered and clinged on to from so far through our Racial Repentance series.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to pick one because we're doing this for... We're not just doing this for you guys listening. Like, this has really helped me a lot to come to a better understanding. But I think the biggest thing it's helped me with is listening. Mm. We talk about telling people to listen. I was like, but, you know, sometimes I think even I have a hard time listening. But this has really helped me to just sit back and be like, oh, okay. Yeah. Not to try to say anything, but just to listen, hearing the stories, hearing things differently, seeing things differently. And yeah, so listening and, you know, because I grew up in a certain type of way. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the stuff that we talk about, like I've seen, I can understand, like, and, you know, but I think there also comes a part of that where I'm like, you're not going to tell me anything I already know, but which is pride. Yeah. And I had to die to that, but I really learned so much in just taking a posture of listening. Mm-hmm. So I think listening, like I listen, but this has really taught me how to listen even more.
Amen.
So I think, yeah, that's probably my biggest lesson is just becoming a better listener.
Yeah.
And I need to take that and use that in every aspect of my life, not just when it comes to this conversation. Listen to my wife, listen to people, my friends, all the like.
Amen.
Yeah, so it's been, I think that's been really good for me.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, what about you?
Yeah, I've been clinging on to the phrase that Kobe used a couple of weeks ago of just connecting before correcting.
Mm.
For some reason, that has like been on the back of my mind for the past couple of weeks.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's important because it helps you kind of compartmentalize things on social media that you see. You don't have to go and correct everybody.
Yeah.
That's not your job. Your job is not to be the Twitter police or the Facebook police or the Instagram police. You know, but in terms of people you're friends with or whatever, you know, if you have that connection, then lean in.
Yeah.
You know, lean in. But if not, you don't have to.
Yeah.
But even if you feel led to, connect before you start correcting. And I think that's just key because it helps you, as you mentioned, just listen.
Yeah.
It puts you in a slow to speak.
Yeah.
You know, mindset where you're willing to listen and hear somebody's viewpoints and their questions, and you're not quick to speak or quick to anger. So
yeah, that's good.
Yeah. All right. So you know, last week or the week before last, there was another shooting. Jacob Blake. I'm going to read something from the Wall Street Journal just to kind of give a brief overview of it. It says the video that went viral last Sunday showed police shooting Jacob Blake, a black man who lives in Kenosha, Wisconsin, 7 times in the back. In the video, Mr. Blake is walking away from officers with weapons drawn as bystanders yell in the background. Mr. Blake walks around a gray SUV, opens the driver's side door of the vehicle, and leans inside when an officer grabs the tank top he is wearing and shoots him from behind. Several officers have their weapons drawn. An officer can be heard screaming, "Drop the knife," but it isn't clear from the video if Mr. Blake is holding anything. The shooting spurred protests in Kenosha that have persisted but have become peaceful after some initial violence. I've heard, I guess, the most recent update on his status is that he's stable, but he's more than likely paralyzed.
Yeah.
And from the waist down, I guess. And he's also been handcuffed to his bed.
Yeah. I did see last night, I think they came out and said that they removed them.
They did?
They removed the handcuffs.
Okay.
So,
yeah.
I think because they probably came out and then they got some kickback, like, okay, let's get these off.
Right. Yeah, that's good to hear. So, what were your another video of? And it's like we're becoming like desensitized to this because it's happening so often. But another video of somebody getting shot.
Yeah.
What were your initial thoughts on that?
Another video.
Yeah.
Disgust. Questions. I think definitely occurring. Like, man, why did they just shoot that man so many times? Because again, like I've got boys who are in the police force, who, and I know, like, I think we just, like, if any of y'all listening are cops, we love you, like especially the ones who are doing their job and who are in it for the right reason, like, we love you, we're not against you, like,
absolutely,
y'all have a hard, like, you might have one of the hardest jobs,
yes,
because if you have a bad day, your bad day might really become someone else's bad day, and it might be not good,
yeah.
If I have a bad day, it's one thing. So, like, we feel for y'all, man. We love y'all. I pray for y'all daily.
Absolutely.
And I think my mind was like, man, like, why did you shoot him so many times, though?
Mm-hmm.
Like, and then in my mind was like, well, why didn't, bro, just lay down? Like, if they're chasing you with guns, like, just drop down, bro.
Yeah, yeah.
But all these things, but yet, and it still kept coming back to you, they shot this man 7 times.
Right.
And from one Reddit thing I read, I saw his kids were either in the car or close by and watching this. And it's just like, man, dude. There's so many other ways. I think I read one place that said that they tased him, but it didn't work or something like that. And I was like, okay, man, but you still shot this man 7 times.
Yeah.
I think if you were trying to de-escalate, shoot the dude. If you had a shoot him in the leg, trip him, do something. Like, there's so many other ways, but you shot him 7 times in the back.
Yeah.
And I just have a really hard time. There's just no justifying that. There's no justifying that. And it sucks. Crushes my heart to see that, man. And that's honestly all I can say is, just, like, I just crushed my, I think I texted you too when I first saw, like, bro, have you seen this? Like, it's just, it's inexcusable on how they did that.
Yeah.
And that from, again, this is all reports. I know there's all these different reports out there. Like, he was breaking up a fight before that. And then I heard, it's just a mess.
Yeah.
But nothing. I don't care. I don't even care if he just slapped somebody.
Yeah.
Or if he slapped an officer.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry to my officers. That does not warrant death. Like, give this man, if he slapped an officer, if he assaulted an officer, if he assaulted anybody, the man is still has to be tried.
Right.
If we are going to stick by our American way, like the American way, like the way the law says, like, he should have a fair trial.
Mm-hmm.
But for some reason, he did not get that.
Yeah.
He got shot 7 times. That was his, that was the verdict for him.
Mm-hmm.
And crazily, by the grace of God, he's alive.
Yeah.
Which I think when we were talking, like, you said something like, man, I'm curious to see what he's going to say, because this is not, this doesn't happen.
We don't get this a lot at all.
No. Yeah. And I know he hasn't said anything yet. I know his dad's been speaking a lot for him. I think when he first came through, he said, Dad, why'd they shoot me so many times?
Mm-hmm.
I was like, it's a good question to ask.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, man, it's just, I think one of the things I was thinking of is, like, this is bigger than just Jacob Blake.
Yeah.
And this officer.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't about demonizing this officer. This isn't about victimizing him. Like, this is showing you that there is a system in place that trained this officer to probably already have some preconceived notions of this individual, that he was a threat, that he was this, that he was that.
Mm-hmm.
And then where he felt like he had to shoot.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's just, there are all these things that have been flooding through my thought, my brain. And again, the fact that There was just no humanity there.
Right.
To take one's life. I mean, you hear dudes who are in the military who take lives and who are messed up for the rest of their lives.
Yeah.
But for some people nowadays, I feel like there's just no true sense of really caring for someone else's life.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy to pull a trigger on somebody now.
Yeah.
So yeah, man, I don't know. I definitely just ramble on about some stuff, but like that's what I was seeing and what I was processing. And just, again, unfortunately, another sign of a black man being shot without, you know. And then, of course, the things that pursue of, like, oh, he was this, he has this criminal record. It's like, okay,
yeah,
great.
Mm-hmm.
Still does not warrant death. Like, and yeah,
you're not the judge and jury.
No. So if he did get convicted of some of those things that were being brought up beforehand, okay. Yeah,
right.
Let him face trial. Let him face that. Which, as being a black man, he probably was going to get the books anyway with all that, those trials.
Absolutely.
So, but again, he still doesn't require a warrant death.
Yeah. So. Yeah, it's, you know, and it's hard for me to say that it's tough. It was tough to see, because it's like, I've seen it happen.
Yeah.
so much now, and that's the thing that I think just hurts me the most.
Yeah.
It's like, man, it's happened so often that it's hard to even have a feeling when you're seeing this. Like, we're literally seeing attempted, you know, in my eyes, murder.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, it's, like, that's not something that should be a regular occurrence.
No.
That's not something that we should be seeing all the time. Unless we're watching action films or something.
Yeah.
But a real-life occurrence? Like, come on now.
Yeah.
You know, we shouldn't be seeing this so often now where it's just, like, we've become numb to actually watching it.
Yeah.
And I think that's the most disheartening thing. And like you mentioned, you know, I think, you know, as and I know for police officers, your job is tough.
Yeah.
You know, every day you go out there and you could lose your life.
Yeah.
That is just the, you know, the nature of your job. But I just think, I don't know, man, you know, I don't know what can be done for police officers as far as like training. To learn how to, you know, help subdue people better. You know, I think, you know, think back to George Floyd and, you know, I watched the more recent videos that have come out and stuff and just watching this man, in my eyes, literally have an anxiety attack.
Yeah.
I mean, I have family members who suffer from anxiety, bad anxiety, so I know what that looks like. You add that on the top of the fact that he's a black man and he has trauma from that and stuff. The man was traumatized, and so it's like, what can you do in that situation to subdue the man and to calm him down? Because at the end of the day, you're the police. You still have the means against one person, one individual, to stop them from whatever they're trying to do, whatever it is. You know, whether this guy had a knife, you know, coming back to Jacob Blake or whatever, you still have the means. You have a gun in your holster. Yeah. A lot of times, you know, I don't know if these guys have bulletproof vests, but a lot of times guys have bulletproof vests.
Yeah.
You know, so there's things that you have that protects you that these guys don't have, whether they have a kind of weapon or not, but you have the resources to do a better job of subduing these people.
Yep.
And I think that's something that needs to be focused on. Because you just, I mean, you hate to see it, man. It shouldn't have to be that way.
Yeah. No, his mother, when she spoke, did you hear her?
Yeah.
Man, she, that was powerful.
Yeah.
That was powerful. And that is.
It's the cry of every black mother,
yes,
man.
Yes, yes. That is what America needed to hear.
Yeah.
I don't care what the politicians have to say about this. Hearing her and the words that she said, that's the type of words that need to be communicated. Those are the type of conversations. Those are the kind of conversations or things I wish all politicians were saying.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what political party you're on. I wish they were all saying that, because then maybe we'll actually see some benefit. We'll start seeing some things change and start seeing some genuine unity.
Right.
Because her words were powerful.
Yeah.
And heartbreaking. But even like you brought up George Floyd, man.
Mm-hmm.
I went back recently and started thinking about that a little more. And I talked with Miss Rhea Bell about this. And she brought up a point that, you know, I think I had been wrestling with. I hadn't put my finger on it yet.
Mm.
That was demonic.
Yeah.
At this point, like, just looking at it, I remember watching that video and that look on the man's face as he was killing George Floyd.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't there. That wasn't humanity.
Yeah.
That was almost like Satan just smiling, saying, look at what I'm doing.
Absolutely.
And then knowing the destruction that was going to come afterwards.
Yeah.
And it's just like, man.
Yeah.
So then, like, that whole incident infuriates me even more.
Mm-hmm.
But then, like, I started thinking about something like I forget the light-skinned dude's name that was there. The officer with George Floyd who he got out.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, he could have done something. He absolutely could have done something. He should have done something.
Mm-hmm.
But then I started thinking about, like, the reality of things is, like, what kind of fear tactics were put in place where this man felt like he couldn't do anything?
Right.
Like, and then I'm starting to think, like, man, maybe this dude wanted to help, but he knew, like, maybe he had some sort of history of this dude who did this, and he was like, yeah, I can't do anything about this because it's going to come back for me.
Right.
So there's, like, it's so much deeper than what I think we all think, and that's what I'm trying to start to see. And it's like, it sucks.
Yes,
totally. It's like it's just a big mess.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, it's not going to be the last time I think we see a video.
Yeah.
And that hurts my heart because my son, my 6-year-old son, was hanging out with one of his friends, and he comes home. Dad, he's like, Daddy, I'm tired of seeing black people getting shot.
Wow.
I was like, buddy. Me too. Wow. He was genuinely upset that black people are getting shot and black people are dying, and he couldn't, like, he's six. He can't wrap his, like, his brain cannot fully wrap it around here, but he's tired of seeing it already.
Yeah.
He's only six. And it's just like, man, it's just, it breaks your heart. Something needs to change.
Yeah. Amen.
So.
That's right. Well, you know, something that spewed from this, that was unprecedented, you know, something that I never thought would happen. The Milwaukee Bucks, they started this trend that just trickled down throughout all of sports, where they decided to boycott their playoff game. You know, not just a game, but their playoff game. And from there, you saw sports teams decide to boycott their games. You saw some teams, I know the WNBA had, they had players walk on the court with, like gunshots almost looking like in the back of their shirts and stuff. Just a lot of protesting and boycotting as teams, as sport teams. You even saw it in the NHL, where that's a league that is predominantly white, boycotting. So sports, professional sports as a whole, really united last week and really stood up against these injustices that we have seen, not just this year, but, you know, that for years.
Yeah.
And so what were your thoughts on that when you first saw that?
I was shocked.
Yeah.
And a sense of pride. Or like not pride, like not pride in a bad way of amen, good.
Yeah.
Because I forget if it was one of the Milwaukee players or not, but one of them said, like, look, we're not going to sit around and be your entertainment while this is happening. To try to take your attention off all the things that are going on. I was like, there you go, bro.
That's right.
And I think honestly, I had joy in my heart to see that such unity across the sports world that I've never seen.
Yeah.
I'm used to seeing owners bashing their players for taking a stand. I'm used to seeing other players saying, I'm against this. I'm against that. Like, I'm against him for saying he's against that. Mm-hmm. But to see such unity, I was like, wow.
Yeah.
It was beautiful.
Yeah.
And I pray the message from that will penetrate and move forward and actually make real change. And again, like you brought the NHL, man, the NHL is 93% white.
Yeah.
That was a statement.
Yeah.
And like when they canceled all their games, I was like, whoa, okay. All right. So we might be getting somewhere. And yeah, I think I thought it was awesome.
And I think also, like, not only did they just cancel their games, but all the teams on the days that they canceled their games and stuff, they took time to have discussions.
Yep.
You know, I know the Washington football team, they canceled their, what was going to be like a scrimmage practice thing. And instead, they sat down as an entire organization. The owner, everybody came and just discussed these issues.
Yep.
And we saw that around the league and stuff, which was...
Yep. Cool. I know the Carolina Panthers did the same thing.
Yeah.
And I think they actually invited some community people. Like, I don't know if it was local leaders or whatever, but invited them as well to be a part of the conversation. So it's like, they're, like you said, they're not just canceling to say, hey, let's sit back and relax now. Like, no, they're actively dialoguing and discussing these issues. So
And I think, you know, was it Doc Rivers? It was one coach, it was an NBA coach, who was just in tears in his interview.
Oh.
And it was hard, but between him and just LeBron.
Yeah.
Just some of these interviews this week, man, you can just tell that these people are fed up, man.
Yeah.
You know, and they're hurting.
Yep.
And I hate to see like some of the people who just comment under these things and they're like, well, you guys, you crying and stuff, you living in your $1 million mansion. It's like, come on. No. At the end of the day, they have black skin.
Yeah.
They have black kids.
And most of them came from nothing.
Yes.
Like, and these dudes have worked their butts off to get to where they are. That doesn't make them.
Yeah.
Like, they still love the communities that they came from. They still love the people that, you know, it's,
What are they supposed to do? Not care?
Yeah.
Hey, come on.
Yeah. Well, that's why, I think seeing some of the hate that was thrown at LeBron, which wasn't the first time it was thrown at him, because he's made stands before and talked about stuff, but, like, just people tell him, go to China. Go to this, like, what? That's your first response? Tell someone to go to China?
Right.
Like, telling him he's a communist and all this? Like, bro, he's just, he's saying, hey, like, there's a problem here. It needs to be addressed, and it's, Yeah, it sucks, man.
Yeah.
But exciting all at the same time to see them finally be like, yeah. And again, like, I'm thinking NBA specifically. Mm-hmm. These dudes are in a bubble.
Yes.
So many of them away from their families right now. Mm-hmm. I think it was, wasn't Kawhi. It was somebody else was talking about, like, the impact that his mental health has had since being in the bubble. I can't remember who it was. But, like, his depression. Like, he wants to leave.
Yeah.
And then you keep adding all this stuff on top of it. And it's just like, man, it's just these dudes. Like, I don't think we realize what these dudes are actually going through right now. Mm-hmm. Like, yes, they're playing a sport, but there's a toll to what they're doing. They're away from their families.
Yeah.
You know, they're watching some of the most unfortunate things in our nation taking place. And that, you know, here they are stuck in a bubble, entertaining all of us.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
You know, one thing, and I know you kind of touched on it, but just, like, how so often we're used to seeing, like, certain athletes step up and speak out on some of these things. But what was just so unique about this is, like, it was teams.
Yes.
And mm-hmm. when we say teams, like, I'm certain that these teams have players who have differing political views.
Yep.
And owners and stuff who may not agree on certain things, but instead of individual athletes just standing up, they came together as teams.
Yep.
And I began to ask myself when I started looking at this, is like, you know, what can the church learn from this? Like, I just felt like there's a lesson here for the church to learn. So,
yeah, there is.
Yeah.
This is what unity looks like.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't about you as an individual. It's about the body.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then they displayed it. Like, you just hit it. Like, all these dudes have different varying views. I mean, you think hockey, these dudes are coming from different countries.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know what the number is, but I'm pretty sure it's probably like 50% is not from America.
That's true.
And they're seeing some of the things that are going on. And, you know, they definitely have to. I mean, a lot of these dudes come from Russia.
Mm-hmm.
We know what Russia's saying, so. But for them to be able to put aside all their pride, all their, you know, their nationalism, and then just to come together as a body to realize there's something's wrong,
mm-hmm.
and we are going to stand in solidarity.
Yeah.
Put away all of our pride, all of our politics, all of that, mm-hmm. and just say, I see you, have that pure empathy and love.
Yeah.
the church needs to learn how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause we suck at it.
That's right.
We lack empathy. We struggle to be unified. The church is so, like, it's just so complicated in how it's just crazy how ununified we are.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Across the board, not even talking about this, like, just across the board, how divided the church really is. I mean, that's why you got so many denominations.
Yeah.
Like, it's craziness.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not supposed to be divided.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's until the church finally gets at what unity looks like, then we're going to struggle.
Yeah.
We're going to struggle to get the gospel out the way we in America, the way we wanted to go out.
Mm-hmm.
Because again, I feel like the church, we have the answer in Christ.
Yes.
We know what we're supposed to do in Christ. Yet we're missing it still.
Yeah.
And I think the church needs to have the loudest voice, but until we get it right, until we can be unified, it's just not, we're not going to have the loudest voice in this.
That's right.
Oh.
That's right. Yeah, you know, I agree. You know, I just, looking at these teams just uniting stuff, it just made me think, you know, we in the church, we divide on so many things that are non-essential.
Yes.
These players, they sacrificed money, they sacrificed notoriety, they sacrificed a lot of things to stand up for injustice.
Yep.
And they did it together. And so I just, like, I asked the question, like, what are we as Christians willing to sacrifice?
Yeah.
What are we willing to sacrifice? And because our sacrifice is much greater than that. Like, our biggest sacrifice should be our own selves.
Yeah.
You know, are we willing to put our political views down?
Yeah.
Are we willing to put our opinions and ideas and stuff down and pick up the Lord's?
Amen.
And to do what he has commanded us to do, which is to love God and love others.
Yep.
And to lean in and to have grace, to love mercy, and to seek justice, to speak love and truth,
yeah.
But to be slow to speak, to be people who actually listen to one another.
Yeah.
We are supposed to be a united body of Christ, and we allow so many things to divide us.
Yeah.
Which is, it's disappointing a lot of times, man.
Yeah. Yeah. It is. Got a lot of work to do.
Yes. Got a lot of work.
And I think we need to, we need to find ourselves, like, if those are listening, find yourself in places where you can have these dialogues,
mm-hmm.
To become more unified,
yeah.
To become more understanding. And I think as a church, we're gonna have to be intentional in creating places where we can have talks.
Yeah.
And again, it's all about Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're against injustice.
Yes.
Jesus is against injustice.
Yeah.
Our goal is not to get people to agree about something. Our goal is to get people to Christ,
mm-hmm.
And then to live it out. Because when we begin to live that out truly,
mm-hmm.
you'll be able to see the injustice. Mm-hmm. You'll want to do something about the injustice.
Mm-hmm.
So we're gonna have to be intentional in creating places to have these dialogues, to have these conversations, to create and promote unity.
Yeah.
And to know that, you know, unity means like we've got different views, we've got different abilities, like it's mm-hmm. not gonna all look the same, but yeah. unity doesn't mean not being the same. It means coming together and using yes. your gifts too at the same time together.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's a lot of work to be done.
Yes.
But it's exhausting to think about, but at the same time it's exciting mm-hmm. to think about, like, God has positioned all of us in this specific point in time in history.
Yeah.
What are we gonna do?
Mm-hmm.
And what are you gonna, those listening, what are you gonna do?
Yeah.
Like, we are all given this amazing opportunity to actually do something to promote unity and to make His name known.
Mm-hmm.
So we can't just sit around twiddle our thumbs. Like, we got to do something.
That's right. And, you know, and Jesus said that He came to serve and not be served.
Yep.
We are supposed to be serving one another.
Amen.
But I think so often we're trying to receive.
Yes.
And as in, like, what we want and all that. Yep. We're trying to get our point across. We're trying to get the victory.
Yeah.
The W in these conversations, and it's like, you know, but are you listening? Are you really, you know, serving the person? Like, are you if the person needs, if your friend is mourning, are you mourning with that person?
Mm-hmm.
Are you celebrating when that person is celebrating?
Yeah.
Are you just serving that person when that person needs something? You know, if it's empathy, are you showing empathy in terms of love? Like, we've and, you know, I don't want to get political, but like, even with just like the mask thing, you know, so part of this, a big part of this is about loving your neighbor.
Yeah.
You know, like, regardless of what you think about it, regardless of that stuff, it's like, but there are people who use it to prevent things.
Yeah.
And just the sight of somebody wearing a mask makes somebody feel a little more comfortable.
Yeah.
Okay, and that's part of us serving somebody else. That's part of us loving somebody else.
Yeah.
And, like, that's what Christianity is, man.
Yep.
You know, regardless of how we feel about things, we gotta put that stuff to the side.
That's it.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. That's Amen. Good.
All right, guys. So, we have some great content, I guess, coming out on Friday.
Yep.
So if you have not subscribed to us, don't forget to, on iTunes, Spotify, or Google Play, leave a rating and or review so that you don't miss any content when it drops. All right. We'll talk to you guys Friday.
See you.
Peace.